there, you're listening to The Uncommon Man. This is L. Adam Bell. Just call me Adam. The L's just really there for artistic effect, I suppose. But hi, yes, I'm Adam. I write for The Uncommon Man, which is a blog at uncommonman.wordpress.com on these very internets. And basically all I do is comment on some of the game news of the day, run down maybe some life issues in the process, perhaps. That's basically me. You know, listening to this right now, I know I probably sound like an NPR announcer, and you're thinking, my God, I'm going to have so much fun listening to this podcast. I can't hardly contain myself. He has such enthusiasm in his voice for so little. But you know what? Stick with me. If you can stick with me through these next few minutes, well, I'm not promising you'll enjoy it, but, you know, maybe. In a far-off land, someday, some parallel universe, perhaps, you could learn to appreciate this.
All of our show hosts are currently busy. Your listenership is important to us. Please continue to hold.
All right, well, the first thing we have on the docket is this slew of Nintendo Wii info that came out this past week that basically tells us everything we didn't already know about the system. Which, as it turns out, is not all that much, I guess. But anyway, this is basically just a reposting, or a retelling of what I posted in my journal, nearly word for word. So, if you already read the journal, then, skip it. The Wii is another interesting roll of the dice by Nintendo, the company that so recently gave us the DS, a very unique handheld system that players interface with by touching. The N hopes to carry over some of the ingenuity and virtual palpability that they established with the DS to their next home console, the Wii. Many jokes have been made at Nintendo's expense, not the least of which centers around the very name of the system itself. Indeed, even I included myself in the band of hecklers when we learned of the machine's unique and, frankly, unfortunate final moniker. But after that initial ruckus died down, most of the gaming community felt you could only tell so many wiener-slash-urine-slash-gonads-and-strife jokes before it got old. Nintendo wasn't budging on the name, and the launch titles looked pretty damn engaging, as opposed to, oh, say, Perfect Dark Zero, yawn, and Cameo Elements of Power, meh. I mean, seriously, the Wii's got The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Excite Truck, WarioWare Smooth Moves, Red Steel, and Trauma Center Second Opinion, among many others. But Nintendo's vision with the Wii has been to create a feeling of acceptance, of opening the doors of the console to non-gamers. In nearly every aspect of the console's makings, it is entirely different from what we've seen in past consoles. We see it in the name, certainly, which Nintendo hoped would convey a sense of belonging, of togetherness, of fuzzy-wuzziness. In the controller, a simple pointing device that can be used as a tennis racket, baseball bat, shotgun, etc., with sound effects issuing directly from the built-in speaker to aid in the immersion, and also combined with auxiliary inputs for different functions in the games. Less emphasis on sparkly graphics and high definition, and more on the actual gameplay, and in the choice of games, something for everyone. Even the actual hardware for the system isn't technically all that impressive. I've heard it said by gaming journalists that the graphical muscle output by the Wii is going to be just above the GameCube in terms of pretty, which certainly is no slouch. I mean, look at stuff like Resident Evil 4 or the Metroid Prime games, if you don't believe me there, but far from what might ordinarily be termed next generation. Which is why Nintendo calls their latest console a new generation machine, saying basically they don't want to do the same old stuff with a graphical overhaul. They want to do something different. They want to change the way that you interact with the game altogether. As the original code name for the system attests, the idea is, rather revolutionary, and fairly telling, considering that 16 of the 20 Xbox 360, the only currently released next-gen system's launch titles, were sequels, prequels, or somehow otherwise tied to an existing franchise, and besides a cosmetic overhaul, things tended to stay basically the same. The point with the Wii is that even when Nintendo's proven heavy hitters, Zelda, Metroid, Mario, WarioWare, etc., step up to the plate this time, it's going to be something different. A whole new way of control. A whole new way of playing. Nintendo's warmed up to their image right now, the image that doesn't pay attention so much to the status quo. With both the DS and the Wii, they were, and are, respectively, taking huge risks in order to try something new. Will the public like it? They think so, and they're willing to stake the company's well-being on it. Bravo for shaking things up, Messrs. Iwata and Miyamoto. The console has so much power behind it as an idea, it's astounding, but it reminds us why Nintendo is still in the console game. They do stuff that hits you completely out of the blue. And when you finally get up and dust yourself off, finish gaping in simultaneous wonder and horror at how the company is surely going to bankrupt themselves this time, you realize you really liked it. You liked getting back in touch with your old favorites for a new adventure. You liked doing something different, something off the wall, something no one's ever seen before. It's that very ideal that I believe is going to put Nintendo at the top of the heap, come this console war's end. Sony priced the PS3 right out of the market. I don't care whether they are making a Final Fantasy VII remake, and it doesn't matter whether they've got Metal Gear Solid 4 if I can't afford the console to play it on. And while the significantly less opulent 360 has a steady popular library, there's just too much going for the N's little powerhouse that it's hard not to call it for the Wii, even this early in the game. But let's go over the news, shall we? I promise I won't do another one of those. The Nintendo Wii will launch on Sunday, November 19th, in North America, and Saturday, December 2nd, in Japan. Yeah, you heard that right. America's getting the damn thing first, before the country that houses the company that made it gets it. My reading here is Nintendo really, really wants America to like this thing. Us getting something in the gaming world before Japan is a huge deal, just trust me. The initial price for the Wii will be $249.99, priced relatively cheap, doubtless so more people will be willing to pick it up, but not so cheap that potential buyers don't take it seriously. The console would be bundled with all necessary cables, cords, and the sensor bar that picks up the pointer controller's movements. Also included will be one Wii pointer controller, one nunchuck attachment, and a copy of Wii Sports, a basic title consisting of five different sports-themed games to help players get familiar with the new controller and how it works. The games in Wii Sports are tennis, bowling, boxing, baseball, and I always forget the fifth one. I would just mostly be in it for the tennis anyway. Through the Wii, you'll be able to browse the internet via a specialized version of the Opera web browser, and also log on to specialized news and weather channels so you can check up on the world before you leave the house for the day. And you'll also be able to design your very own customized avatar, or Mii, within the Wii, and save it to not only the Wii hardware itself, but also to your Wii pointer controller to take with you. And the Miis will also be used in certain games to represent your player, like WarioWare and Wii Sports. The Wii will also be able to display digital photos stored on your SD memory card. A true onslaught of information from Nintendo. Good to know they still see us out here waiting with bated breath. Nintendo, like Apple, is encouraging gamers to think, or rather play, different. Will it pay off? Let's put it this way. The Sony PSP, which is in many ways technically superior to the Nintendo DS, is now floundering sales-wise due to the basic failure of UMD movies, the over-functionalization of the device overall, you know, it can store and display digital photos, music, and videos in addition to playing games, and perhaps worst of all, a relatively small library of truly compelling games. Sony is doing things the old way. As of this entry, the Nintendo DS has a library of 193 titles, many of which support one or more of the DS's unique game-based functionalities, the touchscreen, dual-screen layout, and its microphone. Nintendo is getting more games out there in less time, and is seeing results for making those waves. To date, the DS has outsold the PSP nearly 5-1, 1.3 million in sales for the PSP, 5.3 for the DS and DS Lite combined. Even the GameCube, which has been in a state of steady decline over here in the States for the past few years, overtook the Xbox 360 sales recently in Japan. Good luck, Nintendo. If I have a job by November 19th, you better believe I'll be picking up a Wii. And like countless other patrons, I'm sure, I'll go racing out of the store, the box high above my head as I scream defiantly, "I'm gonna go play with my Wii!"
Oh my god, I remember my mom, she'd be like, "Whee!" That's so great, because I don't want to take that, "Whee!" Oh my god, then there was this guy, and he goes, "Hey, I got a knife and a Whee!" So I went up to a sub gangster, and he was like, "Yo, a Whee!"
Okay, so, Sony is reporting that, at least for Japanese gamers, the PlayStation 3 won't be quite as back-breaking as it was before in terms of price. The Sony Corporation, CNN.com is reporting, said Friday that it will slash the price of its much-anticipated PlayStation 3 video game console in Japan by 20%, heating up the competition in the next-generation gaming war against rivals Microsoft and Nintendo. Sony will cut the price of its basic PlayStation 3 model in Japan to 47,600 yen, which is about $410 American, from an originally planned 59,800 yen, which is about $515 American. What does that say for American gamers, or even European gamers for that matter? I'll take not a damn thing for 200, Alex. Basically, which kind of ticks me off, because as promising as the PlayStation 3 looks in terms of some of the software it has going for it, the price is just too much for some people, including myself, to warrant a second look, really. Maybe in Japan, maybe Sony of America will have a change of heart also, who knows. And if that happens, well, it's still only about $410, which is still too much for me, but that's what? $400 was about the price of the 360 nice model when it first came out, right? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Maybe people will be more attracted to it. If Sony of America gets off its ass and decides to take the same kind of initiative. Alright, and the big thing this past weekend, besides the Wii announcements, was everyone, bloggers, news people, everything was were pissed off at GameStop. A picture of a poster was leaked onto the internet that said basically that if you wanted to reserve a PlayStation 3 or Wii within the first couple of days it came out, you were going to have to trade in some of your old games, at least $50 worth in GameStop bucks, to put a reserve down on the PS3 or Wii. Now, needless to say, this drew much hatred and ire and probably some death threats somewhere from gamers who know that GameStop's trade-in policy is not exactly kosher. When you can trade in a game for, and they'll give you, let's say, $8 in store credit for it, and they can sell that same game for $25, $30 on their shelves, that's really low, GameStop. But anyway, as it was being looked into over the weekend, people said, basically, the policy was that you could not pay for it, pay for the reserve with cash or credit card or debit card or even previously attained GameStop store credit. Nothing like that. You had to trade in the games to put down a reserve, which is really not kosher. But as as the thing began getting looked further into by the gaming community, it was finally revealed that this wasn't going to hit the American mainland necessarily. The policy right now, as it stands, is that GameStop is looking to try this over in Hawaii and I think Guam. And they said if it tested well there and they got positive results, then they might think of bringing it to the mainland. All I can say is for the people who work at GameStop in Guam and Hawaii, I feel so sorry for you and your next of kin after gamers are forced to slaughter you. Yeah, GameStop not making it any easier on gamers right now, basically. And normally, I'm a supporter of GameStop and EB and their affiliates, but that's just low, very low. It isn't enough that the PS3 costs $500 or $600 for the nice version, and it isn't enough that the Wii is $250, I mean, which is still quite a chunk of change for any gamer who doesn't really have a job, or a big job anyway. That's really low, and I can't imagine why GameStop would do something like that. People were posting the same day, they were totally pissed at GameStop, and I can't say as that anger went unwarranted. But again, places like Walmart, Target, they'll have PS3s and Wiis, I'm sure, and probably not in short supply. Any launch of a system is going to be big, and, you know, who knows? Target's even been known to do reserves on games and consoles and such in the past, and maybe they'll take a lost opportunity by GameStop. So who knows? S-S-H-O-L-E, everybody, hey! S-S-H-O-L-E! Oh, I gotta tell you, I was waiting for this to come out, cautiously optimistic, about Mega Man ZX, or Zex, I prefer saying Zex, I'm not sure what the official pronunciation is, but Mega Man Zex was released for the Nintendo DS this past week, or last week, I think, and, The reaction that met, as far as reviews went, was so-so, as Mega Man games tend to be. But this one especially is crossing into sort of new territory. Basically, what I felt with Mega Man ZX is that people are trying to cram too much into a formula that was not designed to hold very much in the first place. I love the Mega Man series, the classic Mega Man series. And the X series are wonderful, I think. But the stuff they're throwing in to the Mega Man franchise now, the Legends thing, I never really liked. But I know some people like it because it's a different style of game and has really good voice acting and characters and all that. I never really cared for that. Battle Network I don't care for because, you know, Capcom just puts out another one a year and doesn't really do anything to upgrade it or anything. There's nothing new under the sun. Which, you know, considering I like the old Mega Man franchise, I guess I should like that idea that Capcom doesn't change a whole lot when they put out another Battle Network game, but, it's just not the same. It feels more like a cheap commercial grab to get younger gamers to play than, a genuine gaming experience, tied to the existing franchise. So that's why I don't like Battle Network. And the Zero series, for all its flaws, has fairly good gameplay, but the story is so effed up. It's amazing, really. And now the ZX or Zex series is, purportedly an offshoot of the Zero series, so the story is again, all kinds of screwed up, with more or less no ties to any of the original series, which kind of ticks me off. But beyond that, the gameplay here has you wandering through cities, through forests, through mechanized lava pits, whatever. And I've heard reviewers correctly say it's sort of like Metroid if you had a really, really unintuitive map system and just very bland locales. And unlike in the Metroid series, it's not like you're trying to find stuff all the time. I mean, there are these secret discs that are scattered throughout the game that were, I think, in the 0, 3, and 4 games also. But there's not a whole lot of initiative to find them or anything. It's not like they'll help you out as you go along with the game. Everything that helps you out as you go along with the game is pre-scripted, yada yada. You can, just like in a normal Mega Man game, there are bosses, guardian bosses, and I guess a new twist is that if you attack these bosses correctly, then you can inherit their abilities without it being inhibited so much like it was in the original Mega Man. In the original Mega Man series, you would kill an enemy and you would get like whatever projectile weapon they had, if they had a projectile weapon. So it was sort of shrunk down to fit into your little arm buster thing. But now this is supposed to be like a whole character makeover. Think like in Kirby Superstar, when you would eat an enemy and you would get like a whole range of moves, instead of just one particular thing, like in Kirby's Adventure. But the ZX series, you know, God help it, it's trying to go in the right direction. It's trying to go somewhere. It's too ambitious. The Mega Man series is not an ambitious series. You take yourself as playing as a robot, or human-enhanced robot, whatever, and you take on 8 robot masters. You go fight a bad guy for a couple of levels, and that's it. That's all we've ever wanted out of the Mega Man series, really. Just some character development in between, but that basic concept. No, and the wandering is entirely too much for anybody who has any love for the original series, because the original series is not wandering. It's about dodging traps. It's about getting into the boss's base and then attacking the boss. That's it. That's all it's ever been about. And it worked. Even though people, you know, poo-poo the Mega Man series for being unchanging and everything else, I don't know. It says something about the game that it's been going on for this long. I mean, even Mega Man X8 came out a year or two ago, and that's still great. X8 is great. It's good, challenging platforming game, and it sticks to the absolute basic Mega Man X and X, the Mega Man and Mega Man X formula, which is 8 bosses, have another couple bosses, and then the big bad guy. That's it. And despite all that, it was really great. It was 2D, it was explorative, it was wonderful. Maybe a little overpowering to platforming newcomers, but, you know, if you were playing Mega Man X8, you're not a newcomer to platforming, probably. You've probably never even heard of Mega Man, so, yeah. but Mega Man ZX, as a reviewer from the Mega Man fan site Mega Man Network said, Mega Man ZX doesn't really light my boots on fire. And I traded it in less than a week after I bought it. So, if this is the direction the Mega Man series is going in, I'm afraid I'm going to have to jump ship now. Because if there's absolutely no hope for a new installment of the old series, then, yeah, I'm not sure why I'm still clinging to the series in the first place. So, meh. Mega Man, Super Fighting Robot. Super Fighting Robot. Mega Man, Super Fighting Robot. Super Fighting Robot. Mega Man, Super Fighting Robot. Okay, that's gonna be it for this week. If you're still listening, I frankly applaud you for your patience. And wouldn't you rather be reading the dictionary? Anyway, if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. Any questions, comments, so on and so forth, I would love to answer them. So, if you have those questions, go ahead and email me. That's LAdamBell, B-E-L-L, yeah, at gmail.com. I will answer any and all questions you have to give me, whether I answer them on the air or maybe not, but hey, they'll get answered. Everything you've heard today was me, all me, LAdamBell, except of course for the music. The music comes from various sources. You can find the sources and the artists in the show notes on our website, uncommonman.wordpress.com. I'll see you there. This is not NPR, National Public Radio. God, I'm so boring by myself. I need a co-host.